Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, it is Brian Windhorst of ESPN. You're a little mad at our next guest, Jason Lloyd, aren't you?
Thoroughly enjoy this.
Give him
segment.
A hard time here before we get started. Let's attack him right off the bat. He's the best. Brian Windhorst is with us. But go ahead, Jason. Go get him.
I'm publicly shaming you because I do not have a copy of your book. And after all the crap you gave me because I didn't give you a copy of mine, I'm publicly shaming you.
Well, 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 Jason Lloyd.
This is going to be a fun segment.
Who booked me on this show? This is real talk here. You, yeah. Jason and I, we do real talk. Jay, they haven't sent me any books yet. You're contractually supposed to get like these boxes of books and then distribute. I don't have them. I don't know if this means that the book is selling so badly they don't want me to give it to them. I don't know if it means it's selling so well they don't have them to give them to me. Obviously, you have a better agent than I do.
The book, of course, is called LeBron, Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. That sounds so good. I wish I was a billion-dollar athlete, but I wish I was a billion-dollar anything.
Yeah.
But I'm not. But LeBron is. Wendy might be, too. I'm not sure. Talk about why you decided to write the book.
Frankly, the last book sold really well, and why wouldn't it? Because it was Jason wrote a book about it, too. It was a magical storybook. You know, when I was doing interviews for that book, I mean, and I was going to various Cavs players and people, it was like, you know, on the last page of this book, you guys are going to win the title. I don't want to give anything away, but that's what's going to happen. So, there's an unquenchable desire for LeBron content, but to be honest with you, I just couldn't write more about LeBron basketball. I wanted to change it up a little bit. And, everybody in Cleveland knows, you know, it's refreshing to talk to people in Cleveland because they know LeBron so well. As I've dealt with this Lakers stuff and Lakers exceptionalism and Lakers fans all year, it's frustrating that they don't know him. You guys all know how LeBron operates from a business standpoint. And all I'm going to tell you is there's never really been a collection of his business done like this. There's been a few stories done over the years, and some of them have been really good. But this tells the full story of how he's and his maneuvers behind the scenes. And frankly, it tells the story of how he's collecting the money to someday try to buy the Cavs. Whether Dan Gilbert will sell it to him, that's a story that I can't tell you because it hasn't happened, but that's what he'd love to do. He would love to buy the Cavs someday, and this is a story of how he's getting the money together to try to pull it off.
More real talk. Brian's book sold way better than mine did. The first one, way better. His was a New York Times bestseller. I think my mom and dad bought mine.
And oh, stop.
That's about it. I'm serious. It did not
that's
do well.
Impressive to be a New York Times bestseller, man. That's really cool.
That's Brian and Dave. They did a great job with that. Hey, Brian, take us through what's going on in L.A. right now. What do you make of all of this, and what do you think LeBron is thinking right now?
So one of the things that I've had to get used to this year is the Lakers' exceptionalism. I know that it's been around for a long time. I know that when you watch a Laker game, they have 16 stars that go across that center court, and that's for all of their titles. I know that they have famous fans. I know that they have all these retired numbers up there. I totally, totally get it. It's an awesome franchise. They've had awesome players. It's all cool. I love going to games in L.A. We got it. It doesn't mean a damn thing when you're trying to make a move in 2018 or 2019. And that is something that they just cannot accept out there. They just cannot accept it. They don't understand why everything doesn't go their way. And, like, let me just give you a perfect example of this. It's a small example, but it's a perfect example. We've got Magic Johnson the other day saying, now, one of the reasons that he doesn't want to be the GM or the president anymore is because he can't be himself. He can't tweet and congratulate players. He can't say Russell Westbrook, great job averaging a triple-double because he'll get fined for tampering. He can't go to Dwayne Wade's last game, his friend, and enjoy that. But as he's doing that, he is undercutting Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki's last games because he's taking the spotlight away by doing that.
Good point.
Yep. Yeah.
And that right there is a classic example of Lakeshore exceptionalism. And that they believe because of their greatness in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s that it means anything today other than a fond memory. And it's just hard. And it's easy to get intoxicated by it because it is such an incredible history. But it is exhausting because, like, if I do something where I say, Jeannie Buss has not done a very good job as the owner of this franchise because the 6 years she's been the owner since her dad died has been the six worst years in the history of the Laker franchise, you'd have thought that I slapped somebody across the face. People are so upset with me. What am I supposed to say? Yeah. I'm not saying that they're a bad person. I can say that Magic Johnson is one of the greatest athletes in the history of the sport. I can say that his philanthropy is amazing, that his fundraising related to the HIV virus and his awareness has potentially changed society in a certain way. I can say all that, but I can also say that he is a lousy basketball executive.
Yep.
It is okay to say that, but it's very difficult for the Lakers and their fans to divorce those two realities. And that is why, in a lot of ways, they are in the situation that they're in right now. Is that what LeBron is thinking? This season was a disaster. I think 1 year from now, we will know a hell of a lot more about this is going to go. We will know whether LeBron's off year this year was a one-off or the start of his slide. We will know whether the Lakers were able to make hires that changed the direction of the franchise. We'll know whether they were able to get players via trade or free agency that turned things around. And 1 year from now, LeBron will have 1 year left on his contract, and the pressure will be on to a certain extent. So let's give it a year, and then reevaluate where LeBron is.
We're talking with Brian Windhorst. LeBron, Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete is the new book. Brian, I don't remember, was it late last week or early this week, but I saw you on Get Up, and you made an interesting point when you said, you know, everybody talks about this being a business decision, LeBron going to L.A., not necessarily a basketball decision. And you made the point of saying that that was the case, maybe to a lesser degree, but that was the case when he came back to Cleveland as well, right?
Right. I mean, what people want to do is they want to take the fact that LeBron is in movies and went to L.A. and use that to attack his character, to say that he doesn't care about basketball and they only went to L.A. to make the movies. That's what they want to do. And look, I mean, let's be honest. I'm sure LeBron is spending a lot more time thinking about media projects than he did 5 years ago. That's fair. We all spend time away from our primary job doing things. Jason spends time away from his job drinking in his backyard. But we don't judge that. We don't judge that. It's a fantastic 4th of July party. I hope for an invitation every year. But when LeBron came back to Cleveland, that wasn't just a basketball decision. Jason, do you believe the story that LeBron tells that he didn't know who the GM of the Cavs was when he came back in 2014? I don't buy that. The guy probably knows who every NHL GM is.
Yeah, but I think he probably didn't know who the coach was.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, he still doesn't. That was not, I don't think he comes back unless Kyrie Irving is there. I mean,
absolutely.
He says he wouldn't, but I don't buy it. But he came back for family reasons, and he came back for reputation reasons. And then he also came back to play basketball. I think it's the same in L.A. He went there, yes, to play for the Lakers, but he also went there to be involved in the media business.
Brian, he told me when they were here for Thanksgiving, he said he did this because it's what he wanted to do. First time in his career, that's what I want to do. Like, Miami, he went because he had to win a championship. Cleveland, he came back for unfinished business and everything you just talked about. He went to L.A. because he just wanted to go. You buy that?
Yeah, because I also think that he believes that his career has he's fulfilled what he's looking for in his career.
Yeah.
When I say what I'm about to say here in other markets, it irritates people. The 2016 championship is worth more than one.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And For the Kobe stands who are like five rings or, you know, Jordan six rings. Look, dude, if you're going to make it a counting game, you win. I give up. Here's your white flag. Have a nice afternoon. But it's worth more than one, the Cleveland thing. And to him, that was the capstone. And so I honestly think that if he doesn't achieve anything else in the NBA and he doesn't add anything else to his resume, I do think he's fine with that, which is why he's like, I'm just going to make a decision that's going to make me happy. That said, when he's in the heat of the battle, he wants to win. But I don't think he has the same drive that he did a few years ago. And by the way, that happens to everybody when they get towards the back end of their career. They start thinking about different things. This is not unusual.
Maybe you just answered this, but when we were in New Orleans and he just burned down the organization to me, Dave and Joe, with the top heavy and all that, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. At the end of that rant, he said it would be different if I wasn't still in championship mode, but I am. Do you think he still is?
See, this is what's so awesome about talking to somebody from Cleveland, because it's real talk. You know? Boy, would I love for you to ask him that question, because you'd have him cornered, Jason. You'd have him cornered. I mean, look, he's a super-duper competitor, okay? But here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to know about LeBron when we see him in October, because for the last 4 or 5 years, he has conditioned his body to be very good in April, May, and June. His effort level and his interest level in the early part of the season is average at best, and you can slowly see him ramping it up.
Yep.
Well, that doesn't work with the Lakers anymore, because the Lakers don't have to worry about May and June. They need him immediately. So he's got almost 6 months here. When you include the fact that he sat out these last few weeks, he's going to have almost 6 months to get ready for the season. And in my mind, he's got to reverse things and be ready to go at the start to get the Lakers off to a good start, because they're not going to any championship next year. They make the playoffs, it's a success. And so to me, if he shows up with that kind of energy and focus, looking to prove people wrong, looking to prove anybody who doubted him this season wrong, I'm going to know where he is in his head. If he comes strolling into the season next year, you know, planning for the back half, it's going to say a lot about where he is mentally.
Brian, when you look at what the Lakers are going to try to do this offseason, obviously a lot of big-name free agents, guys on the trade market like Anthony Davis, who do you think is the best player that is a realistic target?
They are everyone's second choice at best.
Wow.
And again, the Laker exceptionalists out there, They want to either fight you or faint when you say that. The reality about this free agent class, and by the way, it doesn't mean all free agents. Like I see people say, free agents don't want to play with LeBron. Trust me, if tomorrow all 400 players were free agents, LeBron would build a hell of a team. If Anthony Davis is a free agent, he'd be playing with him. But this particular class, we've got one free agent who already demanded a trade away from him, and even though they play nice, that ain't getting re-put together. Yeah. Another free agent, Kevin Durant, who's potentially going to have 3 rings, doesn't need to play with LeBron and the distractions to get one. Klay Thompson just wants to hang out with his dog in Oakland. He doesn't want to play with LeBron. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard, I mean, he's already got a ring where he beat LeBron and was Finals MVP. He doesn't need to go there and validate himself. Even though it's a deep market, it's a bad market. The Lakers are out of position. They were in position for Paul George, and they couldn't get a meeting. Now, that's a bad sign. So then you have the second layer, which I call the all-star layer. You have a superstar layer and then an all-star layer. Guys like Chris Middleton, Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker. If those teams, and all of their teams potentially could not, if those teams off those guys 5-year maxes, they're all signed and they're never getting to market. But I could see all three of them playing around, not offering the full max for various reasons, and then they start looking around, and now the Lakers come into the game. But again, that's already passing on the top free agents and already having those other guys have to pass on offers from their teams. And even if you get any of those guys, I think you elevate to a playoff team. I don't think you're a super contender. Now, maybe Brandon Ingram comes back from his blood clot, is A-okay, and turns into a star. I don't particularly see that. Maybe they can get him to the top four, but I don't see him as a championship team with these free agents.
Will, I know you said before that LeBron would like to buy the Cavs. If you had to predict now, will he own the Cavs or some NBA team 10 years from now, 15 years from now?
Jason, what do you think?
Dan will never sell to LeBron, ever.
That's what I. I'm so careful to say ever, but...
Sure, never say never. I get all that, but... I have a hard time envisioning the scenario where Dan would ever sell to LeBron.
Me too. I do think he will have the money to do it, especially because he can raise money real fast. He can get partners. But it's going to take the right situation. Remember, Michael Jordan, he bought the back there, then they were the Bobcats. It was the only time in modern NBA history where a team sold for less money than they were bought for. It was the right time. The economy had dropped out. The guy wanted out. He needed money. Jordan got him at a discount. It would probably never happen again. But it's going to take a special situation. But I think LeBron will get there. I just don't know if he can do business with Dan Gilbert.
He'd have to overpay to get him. Little known fact, Brian and I went to college together, had a class together at Kent State, had a design class. It was a Friday morning class, like 2.5, 3-hour class on a Friday morning, like 8 to 11. You remember this?
Yes, keep going.
Who got a better grade?
Well, I negotiated. Carl Shearhorn was the professor, and yeah. I told him, listen, Thursday was the big night to go out in Kent. I don't know if it still is. So I was always out on Thursdays. And a Friday 8 a.m. class, I said, I will never be here at 8. I will do my best to be here by 8:45. And Brian was there every day, bright, bushy-tailed. And Brian now works at ESPN, and I don't. So lesson to all of you.
But you are a very distinguished Kent State graduate. You've been honored many times, I'm sure.
Not for anything good.
The book is LeBron, Inc., The Making of a Billion-Dollar Athlete. It's available starting next Tuesday, right? The 16th? Do I have that right?
It was available yesterday, but Jason will not be getting it for many weeks.
It's already available.
I got to go buy my own copy.
I don't know why on the Barnes & Noble page it's saying 16.
I said I want it available the minute that the Lakers go off the radar for the next 6 months. That was the marketing strategy.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Take
buddy.
Care, guys.
All right. Brian Windhorst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Great guy.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.